Thanks for downloading Scott Harrell's podcast. If you use a smart speaker, you can always ask Alexa to enable the SOS radio skill.
We're talking to Ben Fielding from Hillsong Worship today at SOS Radio, checking in all the way from Australia. How are you today, Ben?
Doing so well. Great to be here. Thanks so much for having me. And it's nice to come all the way over to the States from Australia this morning.
And it's not costing us like $5 a minute to talk this time.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never thought coming into 2020 that I would spend so much time on Zoom. But it's the year that we've had. It's been wild. And I still don't know what I'm doing, which is crazy. I've hundreds and hundreds of calls.
Have you written like 365 songs since you haven't been able to tour and meet in person at church? It's been a crazy year.
Yeah, it has. But I mean, I think that what you're saying is right. You just got to kind of make the most of it. So we've tried to sort of pivot, make it as productive as possible. The cool thing about it, I guess, is what you're saying is, you know, jumping on a call now has become pretty normal. So I've been doing lots of writing with people in America as well, without having to travel, you know, 15, 16 hours across the Pacific Ocean. So that's a little blessing in disguise, I guess.
Absolutely. I got to imagine God's doing some interesting things in the themes of worship right now, because it's challenging all of us, especially if we work in the church culture, to think about what church actually is, and are we really pastoring people, or are we really doing discipleship, or if we just focus so much on the weekend experience. This whole season of churches being closed from in-person meeting, it's got to be doing a lot of stuff. What have you seen, Ben?
Yeah, I think it's caused a lot of us to rethink so many aspects of our life and really kind of work out what's important. And I think one of the great things that's come out of this year for our church and for so many churches is being able to reach people that maybe wouldn't set foot in a church and finding new ways of doing that. For us, we've been doing online church, and it's been crazy just to watch the lean into that from, you know, we've heard lots of stories of people who have said, you know, I didn't feel comfortable enough to come to church, but being able to come in that format, they're open to it. But then it's also meant, you know, that for us, that we're trying to find new ways of reaching people and new ways of building community too, which is so at the heart of our faith and so at the heart of the church.
So how has this season challenged you to rethink the way you do parenting as well? I mean, we're all in these weird different seasons of parenting when schools are either hybrid or online, and your kids are home 24/7 and you're trying to coach them, but you're also trying to keep them busy, and motivation's a whole other thing.
Yeah, we started off early this year. We went into sort of full lockdown, and so the kids were at home. They were being homeschooled, and Carolee, my wife, and I, we had always sort of talked about homeschooling and said, I don't know whether the homeschooling type. And so this year's definitely confirmed that we are not the homeschooling type. And I have so much respect for people that are able to do that. But I worry about my kids' education when they've been taught by us. and I think there's, you know, there's going to be a whole generation of students where there's gaps. There's huge gaps in it. You know, where they'll be, hold on, did your dad teach you history? Because that's a dubious recollection.
You know, you've heard songs like What a Beautiful Name and Mighty to Save and Who You Say I Am. We're actually talking with Ben Fielding from Hillsong Worship, who was instrumental in writing a lot of those songs. And maybe you've seen Hillsong in concert. I'll tell you what, Ben, you've been spending a whole lot of time looking at the words in these songs and reading stories to your kids and thinking about, how do I impact my kids? And you decided to take some of the songs and write a book.
Yeah, we have such an emphasis on worship and our church and in our home. And that's been my story. Like, as a little kid, like growing up in church, I remember walking out of church and I couldn't necessarily remember all the things I'd learned at Sunday school or from someone preaching, but I'd walk out singing the songs. And I didn't necessarily even understand all the things that I was singing, but they were doing something in my heart. They were teaching me something about the character of God. And so we just got in our heart, Brooke Scott and Carolee and I. So Brooke Ledgerwood, I wrote What a Beautiful Name with, and our spouses, we were sitting around talking about how amazing it would be to have a book that basically just taught little people about worship, taught them about the words that they're singing. And so that was an idea that became a reality. And Scott is an incredible artist, and he illustrated the whole book. And we just wrote this book that is essentially it's a journey. It's an adventure story about a little boy, Oliver, who goes on an exploration trying to discover this name that he's once heard in the song, and he ends up discovering the name of Jesus. And to me, it's just a beautiful picture of what worship is, because worship is an adventure And it's a curiosity that of the things of God that we spend our lives trying to discover. And the more we learn about who God is, the more we realize he's good and he's worthy of our worship.
We're talking about truly understanding worship for the little ears. And we're talking with Ben Fielding from Hillsong Worship. And we're just talking a second ago about how we can use songs and words to challenge our kids. And he and Brooke Ledgerwood basically took the words of this song and decided to write a whole book about it. And Ben and his wife and Brooke and her husband kind of put all of this together. But it's interesting because a lot of times we think about teaching our kids to worship. But a lot of times we go to church and we just kind of go through the motions and we sing songs. But what have you learned about taking it from coming from a position where I'm going to sing these songs even though I may not be feeling it today to transitioning to really worshiping God? What have you learned, Ben?
Yeah, I think that that's a challenge for all of us, you know, is the reality that we see in our day-to-day lives and the reality of God don't always fully align. And I think that's one of the powerful things actually about worship, obviously about reading the scriptures. But when we come together, particularly there's a power in meeting together in agreement. But when we sing, when we worship, it changes our perspective. And I think there is a realignment. And I've always taken the view as a songwriter and as a worship leader that I want to lead songs. I want to write songs that aren't focused so much on our experience and what it is that I'm going through or seeing, but on who God is. And if we can sing and we worship the attributes of God, the character of God, then I think it causes us to lift our eyes. So we're not just focused on our circumstances, the things that are happening right in front of us, but we, in the middle of that, we lift our eyes and we see God, who God is in our circumstances. And so, you know, I know this year there's a lot of people that are needing to see God as healer. And, you know, our circumstances look like there's a pandemic, but we can look up and see that there's this eternal God who is restoring, who is healing. In a year like this, there's people who are lonely, and we look up and we see God as comforter, a God who is present, a God who is peace. And so I think our worship should always cause our eyes to lift up.
We're talking to Ben Fielding from Hillsong Worship today at SWS Radio. He actually has a brand new book. It's called What a Beautiful Name. And it's basically a children's storybook, and it's taken from the themes of the song that many of us have sung in church. But Ben, when you have the conversations with your kids about who God is and basically understanding, like, there's this God who I can't see. And with a kid, a lot of times it's tangible. And your kids are like, how come I can't see God? When I pray to God, I want to hear him. I want him to respond. I mean, what are the conversations that you were having with your kids as they were growing up asking those sort of questions about who God is?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of parents will probably resonate with this, but I find the most profound and deep theological questions come right at bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, you know, my son wants to explore Levitical law or but there's these really profound questions that come right at the end of the day. But and I think, you know, as a parent, I do think that happens too, like, you know, our kids. It's that sort of those tender moments where they want to talk and they want to question and they want to. And I think definitely questions about who God is and faith come up a lot in our home. And, you know, Carolee and I, we've talked a lot about not feeling like we have to get it all done in those moments. I think just keeping on and inviting the questions and inviting the curiosity, I think, is the key. And to invite them on that journey and of discovery. I think too, when particularly I've got an 8-year-old, a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old, and it's just to affirm their questions, affirm their curiosity and affirm God, who God is,
mm-hmm.
and the reality of God. And I think being able to do that in a way that's creative and fun and find new ways to help them explore the Bible, and I think is key. And I think, you know, as well for parents, sometimes we've got to cut ourselves some slack. We don't have all the answers and we can't package up our faith neatly. But one of the bits of advice that I got from one of our mentors is don't feel like you have to provide a full answer to just answer the question that they're actually asking. And so sometimes just kind of having that chat, working out exactly what they're asking and is a really good thing to do as well.
Now, have you just ever hit like a complete foul ball when your kids ask you some deep philosophical question about God? You start trying to explain some analogy like Star Wars or Star Trek or some kind of thing with characters. You're like, wait, my theology is getting all whack here. I need to go back to here's what God's word actually says.
Yeah.
So we just open up Genesis because this is actually simpler than I was trying to give you.
Yeah, I definitely kind of found myself just digging and digging and trying to explain something by adding other layers of complexity. And I'm sure I'm like in the middle of some sort of ancient heresy. But yeah, no, I think one of those moments was my son asking, well, you know, like, so God made people, but who made God? And I was trying to explain, well, nobody made God. God was there before time. And, you know, as I'm going in and I'm like, this is a really good answer. And there's just the confusion on his face is growing and growing. I realize I just got to strip it right back.
In the beginning was God. It just says he was there. Yeah, that's all I know. Yeah. You can ask him someday.
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking to Ben Fielding from Hillsong Worship today at SWS Radio, and you've sung the songs like Mighty to Save and Who You Say I Am and What a Beautiful Name. And you and your friend Brooke Ledgerwood actually decided to take the song What a Beautiful Name and make it into a children's book. There's a lot of different names of God in the Bible, right? And we learn about these names as like God is a healer, God is a provider, God is the one that fights for us, you know? And you think about like how God's all-knowing, how he's all-seeing, and he's everything, everywhere at once. It's like, it's so complex when we think about this God that we worship, but you just wanted to find a way just to kind of simplify this, to point it to there is one true God and we choose to worship him because he's good and he loves us. And it's about a personal relationship, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that, you know, ultimately we wanted to bring it back to the name of Jesus. I think particularly for when we're talking about our kids, for them to realize how central Jesus is to our faith. And there's all these like incredible characteristics and attributes. And as you said, names of God, and they describe who God is. But I love that about the song, What a Beautiful Name, how it brings it back to the centrality of Jesus. And that's what this book does too. So this like little Oliver goes on this journey, and along the way he discovers this name that's beautiful, that there's these beautiful and wonderful things in creation. And then he realizes like the love of God and the wonder in this name and the power in this name. And ultimately, you know, at the end of the book, he discovers that the name that he's sort of known all along that was written in his Bible is the name of Jesus. And I think that in a day where there's, you know, there's so many competing names, I come back to Philippians 2 that says that Jesus was given the name that is above every other name. That at that name, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And I think that, you know, anything that we can name comes under the name of Jesus. And I think that's a great thing for us to remember in our lives, and particularly in a year like this one, that God's not out of his depth, that the name of Jesus isn't challenged, it's not rivaled by anything that's happened this year, but we can confess that same confession that he has the name that's above all other names.
And it's a great answer, too, for why we pray in Jesus' name, right? It's like versus just, hey, I'm praying or I'm worshiping God who's up there somewhere. But it's like he's the advocate. He's the one that stepped in my place because I'm guilty. He's the one that died on the cross for my sin. So when I'm praying in Jesus' name, it's because he stepped in my place and he's, you know, atoning for that sin. And he's the one that's fighting for me in the place of a holy, righteous God that I'm separated from without him, you know?
Yeah, that's right. And I think that one of the craziest pieces of scripture is where Jesus says, you'll do even greater things in my name than these. And Jesus is performing miracles. To me, it's this picture that as believers, we carry that name. And so there are things that intimidate us, but we should also remind ourselves that we carry that name. We don't need to be intimidated. We can step up and believe God at his word that even greater things will be done in the name of Jesus. And it's the ultimate authority. And I love the picture of God makes an oath and he swears by his own name because there's no other name that is higher than his. And that's the promise of God is even tied up in the name of Jesus.
We're talking to Ben Fielding from Hillsong Worship on SWS Radio, and a children's book, it is out, is called What a Beautiful Name. And thanks for checking in with us all the way from Australia, Ben.
It's my great pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for connecting with SOS Radio.
We feature discussions with Christian artists all the time at sosradio.net.
Feel free to share this audio with your friends and family.